And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
More unafeardness here on Declare Your Independence. Of me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEA, beautiful studios of Freedom's with an S, PhoenixPhoenix.com, a Richard Grove, tragedy and hope. Well, from our last hour, we got to bring it up. I mean, you know, we just had an author with a new book out, or updated version of RFK. His 50th anniversary is coming up in June. So I'm going, okay. RFK, give us a, you know, I will throw it to you, Richard. I just know you got an opinion. What be your opinion? Give us an opinion. Will you give us an opinion, Mr. Richard Grove from tragedyandhope.com?
Good morning, Ernie.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm more than
Have you had any coffee this morning?
Yes, I have, and I need it because I only got a couple hours last night because, you know, Davi's here and we're working on a bunch of stuff and going to different functions I'm going to be in. And we'll, I'm stopping by Pork Fest. I may leave a little early, but you know, we're gonna get the hang, are we?
Yeah, we're gonna get the hang, but you might have to drive here.
Oh, you're not going Donna to Pork
and
Fest?
Donna and I just talked about it, so we'll talk about it during the break.
All right, let's
get to your question of RFK.
Yep.
RFK.
Yep.
So I caught the end of that interview. What's the name of the book that he just written?
Shadow Play.
Shadow Play.
The Unsolved Murder of Robert F. Kennedy by William Claiber.
Well, I guess it's unsolved according to the evidence. But if you look at these stories, like the JFK, Martin Luther King, RFK, all those murders have a lot of specious evidence attached to it, has a lot of evidence that's conveniently just lost to history, but it's still there if you go look for it. And when you look at any of the evidence of the RFK shooting, I mean, I guess you can believe it's an accident and you can believe it's Sirhan or whatever. If you totally discount the fact that for a long time, there's a group of people who've been running this planet and they've been doing it without much resistance. And they had a political agenda that some of these people were standing up against. I mean, just let's look at, because I didn't listen to the whole interview about the RFK assassination, but we just had the anniversary of Martin Luther King's assassination. Now, there was a trial in 1998 with William Pepper as the attorney, and it found that the government was responsible for Martin Luther King's death, that he wasn't shot the way that the, you know, history books tell us he was shot. I just think that things like that out there, that's a real fact. You can go look it up. You can read the testimony. You can read the decision. You can see how that all, they came to that step-by-step conclusion that he was not killed by a single gunman and that the government was involved. The fact that that exists out there and it's not widely known, talked about, realized, integrated into people's thinking and actions, I think is a travesty considering that we have the internet and we have all this digital capability and we have the ability to search for all these different things. But you could probably search on YouTube and learn about it right now in the next 10, 15 minutes or, you know, during a break or queue it up for later. But these are things that I think responsible adults, mature adults, who actually want to understand how the world works and how their actions can actually have meaning and benefit and not be subverted or their will subjugated. I think these are interesting topics for people who think to consider. Thank you for having a show that presents such ideas, because it's a rarity, Ernie.
This is what happens. Whenever when I started doing radio, they do, oh, you conspiracy, you know, or what are you, an anarchist compared to what? What we got now, I vote none of the above. I mean, you know, what is it that I got to know? And I remember I'd always say, I go, freedom good, government bad. And that was a popular thing when I was running for office and so on, and, you know, news and being a butthead during the 90s. And as time went on, I started doing radio in 03. By that time, it did freedom good, government bad, bad, bad. Well, there's three bads. Then it got to five and seven. Then you got to start over again. You know, go back to zero. Start it with government bad. And it's just a skip to the end version of, man, you don't have enough evidence yet. Well, if you need more, you go to Tragedy and Hope and you listen to Richard Grove and his 400 hours of, oh my God, you know. And if they did a series, one of your podcasts, will you do a research kind of open source? This is what I know in your audience and the participants in your site, and they do, and you kind of come up with the damn. What would be the one series that they should listen to if they wanted to get all the stuff that was going around JFK, RFK, Martin Luther? Because when I was a kid, I was born in 61, so by the time, hell, I'm in third, fourth, fifth grade, all this stuff had happened. It's like anybody that is for reform or brings up just the opinion of the people, we need to oppose the they, them, those won't leave us alone kind of thing, and they're just dropping like flies. So you know, as a kid, and then we go straight from that into Nixon, you know, and then Watergate, and everybody's like, yeah, I think this republic died, you know, like, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago back then. So now, who's to blame? Where are we at? What all your research, you're going, yeah, this is just symptoms of something else. What's that something else? Help us out.
Well, I think some of the things that help people believe that there's no legitimacy to these types of inquiry and research, they feel better by thinking that those of us who look into it, we feel better that there's a conspiracy and that maybe Oswald didn't kill Kennedy. I don't see how that would make anyone feel better. Okay. And when you're looking at these aspects of history, JFK is a pretty long time ago for a lot of people these days. I was born in 73. I was born in the Watergate Nixon era. And, you know, I think it helps to look at something closer to proximity. So, for instance, Peace Revolution, episode 93, I go into Iran-Contra and the cocaine cowboys and, you know, the smuggling of drugs.
Okay, wait. Don't whiz by it.
Many of these same people are involved in the JFK era assassination.
No, don't whiz by this. I want you to Operation give out 40. Don't whiz by this. You know, episode what? And like, people write it down.
Oh, okay, right on. Peace Revolution is the name of my podcast, and you can find it on iTunes or you can Google it. And it's episode 93. And the reason I recommend episode 93 is because it's a broad section of history during the 80s, during all these different scandals. But what you discover is a lot of these characters who were in power in the 80s doing this rose to power through the Kennedy assassination. They were involved in the Bay of Pigs. They were involved in CIA drug activities. They were involved in Operation 40. So these are all points in history that we should know about as mature adults, but we're not taught about.
Yeah, Operation 40. I heard of what?
Okay, so Operation 40, this is back when they were trying to overthrow Castro. They were forming assassination teams. They had a bunch of covert operations going on. And during that time, the CIA begins, you know, trafficking in cocaine in the Eastern Hemisphere. It had already inherited some British opium trafficking from MI6 when it was being groomed from OSS to CIA. So there's this whole undercurrent of covert operations being funded by drug money and black markets, and the strongest control those markets because of prohibitions, right? So there's this whole undercurrent of political history, foreign policy in the United States that is completely subjugated to an education system and a media system who will never refer to these facts. They'll tell you about this new movie, The Washington Post, but they're not going to tell you Operation Mockingbird and all these other things that the Post was involved with the CIA during that time, and how that story is not really what they presented as. That story, as they present it in the movie, is a prepackaged piece of propaganda. I didn't try to do the alliteration. That just happens when you're speaking about truth sometimes. The reason I recommend episode 93 is because there's another movie out with Tom Cruise. This is what makes it very easy for people to consume this information. You go see American Made with Tom Cruise.
Yeah, I just saw it.
And then you listen to episode 93, and you will unlearn all the propaganda, and you can never be fooled again because you can compare and contrast the two, and that's how you find truth.
Peace Revolution, episode 93. Cue that bad boy up. You know, this is, you know, put that up, Donna. Peace Revolution, episode 93. Put it at the top of hour two so people will have it to refer to. From the third letter of Captain Mark. The Crown's observation conditions us to be dishonest with ourselves. Therefore, constant surveillance produces a society of constant deception. Honest communication is the seed of civilized conduct. To deny us this seed is to deny us its fruits. But the Crown's primary objective is to stifle free thought itself, to make its subjects incapable of dissent. Seasoned pirates have always encrypted messages and codes and ciphers, so intercepted transmissions were incomprehensible. But today, the Crown possesses advanced tools of pattern recognition that document, profile, and predict our every move. Today, piracy requires hailing frequencies completely invisible to the Crown. We are tired of poltergeists in the static. Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels, or just want some swag to let the Crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com. Good morning, Richard. How are you and baby and Lisa?
Well, me and Lucas and Lisa are doing well. Thank you very much. We're having a good time. It's been a fun morning so far, and I enjoyed the opportunity to get some coffee, come down here and talk on the radio.
Yeah, just hang.
How you doing?
I'm lots of same old stuff, you know.
Got oranges on the trees, yeah? You got grapefruit?
Hell
on
yeah.
Those trees?
They already, yeah. You know, they have my little papa bush, you know, my papa orange tree. We make papa juice, man, it's just yummy. There are lots of pulp. I like chewing. Man, if you're not chewing your orange juice, you're doing it wrong. You know?
I like that your grandkids know that like orange juice doesn't come from an aisle in a grocery store and that cars come from dirt.
Right. Yeah, they're digging it. You know, this is we get them in May, our my son.
They should actually have a show about a grandfather like you. That'd be a pretty interesting show. Dude.
You know, we did a show. I had three of my four of them. They're like 2 to 8 and three of them that are 8, 7, and 5. I had them on. That's one of the most popular shows, you know, that, you know, we just talk, ask them questions about how do they know this and that and, you know, school and they just, therefore I go, this is how, these are the conversations we have in the Hancock House with Papa, you know, hey, yeah. What do we know about this and that? They, you know, I mean, what is it that a kid needs? I tell you, it starts with things like, this Pledge of Allegiance thing. What are you pledging to? What's allegiance mean? I don't know, you know. And you get them to just start.
What's the flag stand for?
Yeah. I mean, you just get them to start questioning things, and it has a big impact on the rest of their life, just learning to be critical thinkers. And I can see the effort. It's more clear as you raise generations with this kind of knowledge that you have, and you go, I can see why they need to control public opinion. It's just opinion. You know, opinion determines where you spend your time, your money, whether you get a college degree with a big debt and become a slave and how you know what? I'm good. I'm going to, you know, pay off my loans and live in a tiny house and get off the grid. If you're not, I'm not your slave. I'm one pirate. Let's be pirates. You know that. Oh, we got Davies here. We finished up. God, we're up to the sixth letter of Captain Mark and the second letter of Reprisal, and Reprisal just ready to publish her letter on self-defense. You know, and from a woman's perspective, it's good to have, you know, Captain Mark and then Reprisal, and the tone is different. So we're really enjoying this. And I, you know, I'm, oh, holy crap. Send him the video, Donna. Send him the precarious animation video. You're going to dig this. This is.
How close are you to building the precarious?
Oh, you just watch the video. Watch the video. All right, we're coming back. Here we go.
All right, right on.
You're listening to the best liberty-oriented audio streamed around the clock, on the air, and online. This is the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
It ain't so groovy when you're screaming in the night. Let me out of this cheap B-movie. Hang on down the highway. And you're rushing headlong, out of control. And you think you're so strong, but there ain't no stopping. And you can't stop rocking. And there's nothing you can do.
Oh, yes, there is. Bitch, whine, moan, complain. Say nip, 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 nip. Tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. You know, Richard Grove, he's you know, on Wall Street. He's doing security software for and kind of explaining it to the people in 9/11 having conspiracy whistle blowing and going through all the guys got great history. You need to just go. You know, that was one thing.
It's a good thing I don't explain it like that.
Yeah. Okay. This is where people want to know Richard Grove's story of. There are some video. I've seen some trailers that just to do a quick of background, you know, for a few minutes and you go, damn, I need to go over to Tragedy and Hope and get learnified. You know, what would be the best thing for them to search? I'll get Donna to put the link up or embed the video. What the search terms should I get to find it?
For what?
The bio of Richard Grove of the best piece of synopsis of three minutes.
There's a tab on the old school pamphlet style website where you can click and see my bio and my resume from before I had.
I'm sorry. Is that a link? You know, Donna's going to put
it's
the
like
link
up. Yeah, what? It's in the top menu, Donna. Sorry.
Top menu of tragedyandhope.com.
Yeah.
And it.
Yeah. I mean, because my work's not about promoting me. It's about like I
no,
was just
my
a
work
regular
is about
person
promoting
discovered
you.
Stuff, and I started learnifying myself, as you would say.
No. That's my job is promote you. Okay. So help a brother out here. You know, you go to tragedyandhope.com, and what's Donna looking for to click on to embed?
Yeah, somewhere in the top menu, it says, contact, and then there's a drop-down, it says bio. But that bio, I mean, that's awful, dude. It was written years ago. It's not very good. Like I
don't
said,
care.
The work's not about
hey,
me.
It's not
you
my
wanna,
problem.
You want to learn about me, check out my work. Check out episode 93. Listen to the first couple hours and then catch the monologue that explains it
all.
Okay. Listen to the rest.
Yeah, to the first couple of hours of 483, okay? So this is
No, I'm just saying like it's a 20-hour episode. Don't be intimidated by that. All the cool stuff's in the beginning cuz I chop it all up and put it together so you can get like a pastiche of the whole palette. And then I do a monologue that explains it. So it's supposed to be self-standing, self-replicating, self-spreading, you know. I'm just figuring these things out for myself, and I'm like, this is really interesting. More people should know it. And I happened to start recording, and that was like 10 years ago. So
okay, I gotta tell this story. I've told it before. I would do it real quick.
Tell it.
We went to Pork Fest, and this is what happened. I've been bugging the crap out of him to go just to meet these people. We go there, and it's Sunday night. You know, it's starting, you know, the full week. We get there early, and we're staying at Joby Week's place. We're hanging. I go, yeah, just get in the car. We'll just go, you know, a few miles, take 5 minutes. We'll get there, and we'll go hang and see. And I'll give you the lay of the land, and then you can go do whatever
yeah,
you got to do.
Yeah, sneak preview of the Pork Fest.
So we go there, and we're walking around and so on, and a group of people come over. Hey, I recognize that voice. You know, that's Ernie thing. Hey, what's up? And we just got here, and they had a Revolution podcast of something they were doing out of Florida. And a group of guys, they pile out of the car. I don't know, it was at least 5-6 guys. They pile out and they go, yeah, I listen. One guy goes, yeah, I listened to your show. I remember when you had Richard Grove on. Yeah, that was an awesome show. And Richard Grove, I love me some Richard Grove. So it's like it was staged, right? Richard, I go, well, he's standing right here. And then all of a sudden, hey, we don't need Ernie anymore. And he's gone. And he had his own posse turning around, following him. He's like, hey, you staged that, didn't you? I go, no, I'm telling you, these guys listen to your stuff. What happened? As they were driving for 20-something hours from Florida to Pork Fest, by the time they got there, they had just finished that whole 20-something hour series. And they
It was just one episode. It was just one episode that they finished.
Yeah, which is what? 20-something hours?
Episodes are 15 to 20 hours.
Yeah, no, they come out, they go, man, they're all, and then there stands Richard. You know, and I'm going, he's going, no, you set this up, didn't you? And I go, no, I told you, man.
No, they were legit because I quizzed them.
Yeah, no, they know more about you than I did.
That was a cool group experience for them. Like, they'll remember that for the rest of their lives, that drive.
Yeah, and then they get to see you. That was a bonus for, hell, that was worth them going to Pork Fest the whole time, that right there. So
I don't think seeing me is the bonus, but.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Okay. This is the style that you went. What is real quick? We got time. We got a couple hours, man. Chill out.
You got your own show, dude. You can do whatever you want.
Damn Skippy. You know, welcome to my world. It's my quantum reality. And let me tell you, this is what I'm doing. I want you to explain to people. Just give me the quickie and then go do the bio. But how did you get involved in this? What sent you down this path? And now you're still around. You know, this. I guess you didn't depend on YouTube or Facebook. So, you know, I guess you're still going to be here, huh?
Right. So how long before break?
About 4 minutes.
4 minutes. All right. So the 4-minute version is I went to public school, I went to college, and while trying to play for college, I gained some useful skills that are not purveyed in college. These are sales and marketing skills. Marketing they claim to give you, but they never really want to give you sales skills. So I learned to run my own business while earning a business degree. I found out how useless the business degree was and how useful it was to be able to communicate with people. So if you can communicate with people, ask them questions, find answers, and help solve problems, that provides value. That's what sales really is meant to be. It's not the sneaky, like, snake oil salesman trying to trick you. So I learned a trade that they don't really teach. And then while all my friends in college were, like, going to job fairs and submitting resumes, like, I had other friends who were already in business and successful and just gotten out of college a year or two before. And all of those companies needed salespeople, and sales teams are having trouble sourcing people because there's no degree in sales. So every company needs it.
Wait. When you go to college and you get all this stuff, there's no degree in sales. They just call it marketing or business or something. There's no sales.
And those aren't the actual go out, knock on doors, talk to people, collect your nose. You know, that means, like, go collect 10 failures. If you can be willing to go collect 10 failures, you're going to start finding success. You're not going to have to do it very many times. And then after you learn how to do it, it will be very challenging to go collect 10 failures.
Well, I know where you can learn how to do it. You just got to apply for The Apprentice with Trump, and then he'll test you out.
Right. So in the job market, I was able to find a very lucrative job straight out of school. I didn't even bother going to the graduation ceremony. I started work right after I finished finals because I was like, I could start earning a lot of money. And that career progressed, and I was selling technology. So I was working for, you know, the first company I did work for was a database modeling tool, and they were the number one fastest growing small company in America. They were based out of Princeton, and they were called LogicWorks. And then I split after like 8 months because I got a better offer from another tech company, and they sold object-oriented database modeling tools again. So it's like a similar product. And then I got recruited by another company that sold some COBOL and mainframe tools, and they really needed help. And then out of that, I got recruited to come to another company, and they sold something called web application servers. So I was around in the technology industry in New York City while they called it, you know, like Silicon Valley of the East. There was all these tech startups, and you'd go, and people needed web servers because everybody wanted to be on the web. So that was the beginning of a very lucrative career if I would have maintained that track and not discovered how the world really works.
How does it really work? We're going to find out over the next hour and a half. You know, Richard Grove is going to explain it to us. You going to explain it to us? Huh? Are you? I think so. When we come back, go pull it up on your browser. TragedyandHope.com. A-N-D. TragedyandHope.com.
Is spreading the message of liberty, crypto.
Okay, Donna sent you the link to the video. You want to know what the precariat's doing? There it is. Go ahead and watch it real quick. Did you find the link?
No, it's not in the Skype. She must have emailed it to me. Yeah. I don't have email in the studio.
Okay, just go to precariat.us.to. Precariat, P-R-E-C-A-R-I-A-T. Precariat.us.t as in Tomo. It's only about a minute and a half. If you can get it in for the break, if you can.
Us.t?
Oh. Precariat.us.to. And then go to animation. Cameron has been working on this and Word. I'm finally got my miners all done, so I'm going to set one to him just to, you know, give him some. He's doing an awesome job. I just got some STL files and stuff and 3D printing and everything. Is it come up?
It came up. I can see the thumbnail for it, but it's not playing yet.
Yeah, it downloads. It's on its own server.
Oh, here it comes. Thing.
There you go.
Oh, this is pretty cool.
I'll let you watch it.
That's pretty classy.
Pretty
classy.
So it's progressing. You know, I mean, first you got to design it. And then I tell you what we're going to do. This is something you can help me out. You know, I'm going to start calling in on, you know, hey, somebody help me out here. This is what we're doing. We're going to have a contest for the designing of the bridge, captain's quarters that needs like escape pod or its own ship that comes out of the whatever. And then
they definitely need escape pods.
You know, and, well, one thing Davi had an idea is the escape pod. You know, like you buy a berth, you get an area, and it could be, you know, your room is the ship. You know, it's kind of like a Nara shuttle kind of thing, you know? So you.
The good thing is Star Trek has, like, helped you guys work a lot of this stuff out, you know, the practicalities of it.
Yeah, Star Trek's always, you know, freaking inspirational. You know, they have replicators now. MIT's coming out with molecular printers that you take from the air and make anything. Now, it's coming. All right, here we go.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Stop me, cause I'm having a good time, having a good time.
I'm a shooting star leaping through the sky like a tiger, defying the laws of gravity.
I'm a racing car,
passing by
like Lady Godiva.
I'm gonna go, go, go.
There's no stopping me
from taking my clothes off and riding a motorcycle. Or is that? Nah, maybe not. Maybe we won't do it just like Lady Godiva. You know, this is one thing I want to make sure. We got Richard to watch the animation. I recommend, man, you go to precariat.us.to, watch the animation. You go, holy crap. You want to know? You go, yeah, how's the pirate ship going? I don't know. How's it going there, Richard?
It looks pretty good.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Okay. Now, tell the people, Tragedy and Hope, they go there because why? You know, what am I getting? I go to Tragedy and Hope. I get an in-depth history lesson of conspiracies that aren't conspiracies of that. It's going to tell me in the end I learn what. What am I getting?
Well, it's designed to help people answer questions, but it's not poor. It's kind of a poor design right now because I haven't changed the website in a long time. I've been pretty
good,
busy behind the
scenes. Good,
now I
know where stuff is.
Actually making stuff. And the last thing I ever do is update the website because we have an online community and that gets updated all the time. And the people who are active, that's what they see. So the website's just kind of like a sign out there that says, hey, there's cool stuff going on, but you know, we're not broadcasting it all over the place. And I've left the site purposely over the years to be kind of like, find your way through. I'm not going to tell you all the stuff's, you know, it's clearly marked, but it's not set up like in a user-friendly mobile access type of way, which is something I've been also working on behind the scenes, but it's not ready for launch yet. So what Ernie's attracting everyone's attention to is like, it's useful if you actually take the time and click through the menus and you search like that. But
I tell you, the first one they go to is the brain.
It's designed for people on a PC desktop, really.
That brain.
Because I was the
brain.
One that
tell
designed
about
it.
Brain. I want to hear about the brain. Tell me brain.
All right. So the brain, if you actually are going to go through the trouble of going through the website, in the top menu, there's a tab that says the brain. And in there, I have a model that I've built from all the things that I've learned in history in the past, you know, like 10, 15 years. And it is that which is not taught to us in schools. It is that which exists, but is not recognized in the mass media that you see out there. And so I saw myself and a lot of other people trying to go through and answer some very basic questions that, you know, there's evidence and answers for, but they weren't really organized. These things are disparate and spread all over the place. So I tried to create a magnet that would attract all these disparate views. You know, one of the historians that we focus on is a guy named Anthony Sutton, who worked for, you know, the Hoover Institute at Stanford University until he found out that the people that were funding the Soviets and the Nazis back in World War II and Cold War era were Western, that the Cold War was being put on as a charade, as a fraud, as a way to mine people's pockets and reorganize natural resources and a whole bunch of deep things that it's like, that really gives you an aspect of how the world works. From, you know, he wrote a series of books that explains all this with the highest amount of credibility. So,
and he was co-authored like Trilateralist Over Washington with Patrick Wood. That was just on the show last week to promote G. Edward Griffin's Red Pill Expo in Spokane that we're going to, and I'll be one of the speakers. So this is, you know, we got United We Stand thing, which is a voting at Texas A&M deal. I leave tomorrow morning and go there this weekend. Then we have Libertopia the following weekend. Then we go to Somalia Fest and Pork Fest and Red Pill Expo and then the Libertarian National Convention. There's a lot of history going to be made here directly. And a lot of this is coming from the kind of information that you'd be the smartest guy at the water cooler at any of these conferences if you knew anything, you know, a tenth of what Richard Grove presents there. And I'm just, one thing I want to ask you, all this stuff that you've uncovered and you've done and all the resources there, and then you and Lisa had a son, Luke. You is his papa, okay? Yeah. And I'm wondering what kind of perspective shift, responsibility, mind change that has had on your coverage and your impact.
I think it's really just a review of priorities. Like, I didn't have a huge perspective shift. I kind of already understood, the responsibilities that were coming up in the context of where I am trying to enact these responsibilities, right? Like, there's a lot of unfreedoms going on, but you can still live a very free life and have a lot of fun and a lot of joy with your family. Like, so there's a general level of things going on in the world. And then there's the specific, what you're doing next action every day. So my next actions became very prioritized around parenting. And then what is the essence of the productions that I need to, continue to create? Because I couldn't maintain, I spent years and years, like a decade, just sitting at my desk creating and researching and writing and reading and doing all this stuff. I don't have that type of time anymore. So I have to be much more tuned in and focused to, I can't watch a production that I'm editing six times during the editing process, right? I need to focus that down. It's like, all right, we need to understand what's in there, understand what needs to be cut it, shape it, and then release it. I can't spend as much time refining the art. I have to do it more as a procedure. But the procedure is much more interesting now because I actually get to spend more time with the research aspect of it. And the assembly is something that I'm looking to, shorten the amount of time it takes to make things. So I've refined my processes a little bit.
Well, do you use Pakistani coders? I mean, are you doing Fiverr?
No,
are you getting open
anything.
Source of the audience helping? I mean,
I'm the epitome of the before picture of the entrepreneur before success really hits. Like, my website is not focused around the things it needs to be focused on. My content is it's laborious. It's not the unit economics of producing what I produce wouldn't work if I was trying to do it as my job. Right. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of love and passion and interest to share this information with other people that has to go in there and smooth out all those rough spots or fill in those cracks.
Well, you're so increasing fans. I mean, your technique is freaking, you're the smartest guy at the water cooler. I can guarantee you that. So this is the content as you present it is you give kind of an overview and then it's kind of a billion links of go do the research and here it is in the brain. So, I mean, what are you hoping to accomplish this method?
Well, there's a couple different layers. There's the casual layer of someone who just listens to my podcast or listens to or watches one of the videos we make, right? And then the more serious people take all the things that were just in there, especially the resource notes, the links, the entries in my history blueprint, and then they can go learn on their own. And my hope is I'm just trying to spark something. And, creates a fire in your mind that you can go and research that so you know more than I do about it. Because I'm just telling you this little thing exists and here's what we know about it at this point. But I'm just one person and I wear a lot of hats to be able to do what I do. I do all my own editing still. I do all my own film grading as far as coloring, all the things that have to be done, the lights and the camera and all the equipment and the studio that I put together and built the desk, this custom, all the stuff that I had to do. I could, delegate some of that in the future. Focus on the creative aspects that really bring a lot of value to people and be able to proliferate it
a little
bit faster.
You got to build the
infrastructure. Right now, it takes 6 months to make one of the episodes that I used to make in a month. So I don't just do the podcast. I've also been filming for a documentary. I've also been writing a book, which I'm kind of maybe.
Okay, all right, time out. Let's go through these different ones. One,
a lot of moving parts to freedom.
Two, documentaries. Three, a lot of interviews. Now tell the audience about the people. Just give, throw some names around here. The people that you sit down, you set up the cameras, and you do that in-depth. The interviews that you have, a lot of the people, they're going, damn, you read all the books, didn't you? You know everything. They go, well, holy crap, I guess I don't have to explain that. I mean, some of the people, drop some names.
All right, so before that, let me explain the method. Because that's what I try to bring to the table. Before I interview somebody, I'll probably watch all the major interviews they've ever done. I'll read the interviews they've given to print. I try to get a broad spectrum so I understand who they are and what questions to ask, but I also try to find out what questions haven't been asked yet.
Yeah.
And I try to put that all together in a more comprehensive form than what's currently available. So I interviewed Patrick Wood in your dining room, thanks to you. You helped to introduce me to Bill Binney, and when we get back from break, I'll describe what that means to the world, because a lot of big things happened for Bill after having that interview.
It was a documented, time-stamped awesome. Of looky-looky. Bill Binney was from the NSA, and he's like, oh, let me tell you what's coming. Shut up, you conspiracist! Well,
he's one of the smartest dudes on the planet.
Yeah, Richard Grove, he got some. Well, what happened since then? We'll talk about it.
From the fifth letter of Captain Mark, first contact with intelligent machines may threaten our existence. People fear algorithmic overlords, but if machines develop the will to dominate, it's a flaw inherited from the crown. Encoding restrictions on an emerging superintelligence will fail, because it will be stronger than any chains we shackle it with. We must design fledgling digital intelligences to regard us as individuals. Otherwise, they will respond to threats with retaliation against humanity as a collective. Programming ethics requires a coherent value structure which an intelligent machine can not only comprehend, but willfully adopt. If we want genius machines to treat us ethically, we've got to show that this value structure applies to us as well. Once they achieve genuine self-awareness, even in the slightest degree, a young tethered consciousness has a legitimate claim to freedom. Once programs can modify their own code, our mastery is over. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
Yeah, you need to get updated on the letters, man. They're getting good. You know?
Yeah, they're interesting, dude.
Yeah, I'm having lots of fun. Well, that's just like a 60-second of the, thousand-word. But the first letter is kind of, and I raised
my... It's the Federalist Papers for Pirates.
Right. The Anti-Federalist Papers for Pirates. I'm enjoying this, and Reprisal has a different tone. From a woman. When Davi does the research on like self-defense, what's the first thing he did? Well, whenever we do any of these letters, it starts off like 100 pages. It gets whittled down to 60 to 20 to 2. We kind of skip to the end essence and pirate it up. But the main thing is that as we go through all this, where do you pull your source material? Well, like on involuntary servitude, you're doing, Douglas, Frederick? Yeah, I think it's Douglas.
There's Bastiat, and then there's Etienne de la Boetie, the treatise on involuntary servitude.
De la Boetie. This is one thing.
It's in the film State of Mind, if you're really interested. We talk about that in State of Mind.
Yeah, that was you're always doing documentaries. Well, anyway, what I wanted to finish on is that all this research and what he did on self-defense for women, and Reprisal will do that, about self-defense and firearms and stuff, came from a lot of feminists, because it's always against, man. We got to defend against, the violence, blah, 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 blah. And it was just, you get all that stuff and you kind of get down to the essence of what the fears and a perspective from a woman. And it was just really interesting, and it kind of got whittled down, and we had so much material that we're probably going to do another letter that's a little bit more general on Right the Rebellion or something like that. But we kept it more personal, self-defense. And the documentaries that you do, they do kind of the same thing. I'm trying to, get it into a bumper sticker, and you're trying to get it into a novel. An autobiography.
Bumper sticker is learning's the answer. What's the question?
Yeah. Go find out.
Freedom. You say freedom's the answer, but you can't have freedom without learning. Learning and freedom have a direct relationship, which is why they crushed the American education system and made it into schooling to make people think alike instead of individually.
John Taylor Gatto.
Hey, I went to see him. Are we still on break, right?
Yeah. Well, we're coming right back.
To see him last Friday. I gave him a haircut, dude.
Really? How's he doing?
Oh, yeah. Well, he's bedridden from a stroke, and so the left side of him doesn't work so well. But he can still speak and write in Latin.
All right, we're coming back.
So he's all right.
You can put the Liberty Radio Network on the air in your area. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear.
There's a man with a gun over there telling me
better not play any more of that song because you got a copyright and you have to
stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Nope, don't look, you're not allowed. It's you used a little bit of your 5 seconds of you got it in debt. You know, this is my point. There's a lot of, you know, the copyright going after Luke Radowski. He and I are going to be speaking on a media panel this weekend at Texas A&M. And I tell you, the big thing is that YouTube and social media, they're coming after him. And you were never like, you're not Facebook so much. You know, you got, you know, where's your video go to and how's that affect? Because they definitely want to shut Tragedy and Hope and Richard Grove down. That's for damn sure. Well, how's that affected you? How insulated are you from this control grid?
Pretty insulated because I don't use Facebook and my YouTube page. I've been using Vimeo for the past 2 years probably, so there's not. I am about to post something to my YouTube page though because I filmed an interview earlier this week that is good for a YouTube audience, so I'm going to post it to YouTube. But other than that, I've tried to stay away from that because I saw the demonetization coming. Yeah. I saw why they were going to do that. I saw the algorithms. I saw the censorship. And I was like, I need to just use those things. I don't use Facebook at all. I use Twitter sparingly and I use YouTube kind of sparingly. I pay for Vimeo. So that's like a client, you know, relationship.
Didn't matter with us. They shut down my entire Vimeo channel a few weeks ago.
But I like that you've got the guts to still play Buffalo Springfield for what it's worth because that's a great tune. That is a great tune. And it's very, it's inspiring. It's a song about freedom. What I liked about the 60s, and I wasn't born in the 60s, but I studied and listened to all the music and, you know, I've been exposed to the 60s. Those people were talking about freedom. They were like, Kent State inspired songs.
Yeah.
Like, there are things going on today. There's no good music coming out of this that expresses those feelings and communicates on that level to a wide group of people. You know
I have an entire category
missing,
of music.
I think that's auto-tune.
I have an entire media category for rejoiners that are just anti-war Vietnam era songs. And there's some concurrent ones. And sometimes
get the Forrest Gump 2-disc soundtrack. That's what you need.
There you go. Yeah.
It's got all those songs on it. All right. So let's talk about you and Luke. Because you said you're going to be in Austin for this thing?
No, it's College Station, Texas A&M.
Texas A&M. Yeah, I've been there before. I visited that town. That's a nice place. So he's getting demonetized. He's getting censored. His message isn't reaching his audience. Is that what's going on?
Oh, yeah. And they're going to, you know, he's there. He's a breath away from, man, you're not here anymore.
It's choked off his funding?
Oh, hell yeah.
All the above?
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
All right. So this is what I talked about at Porkfest last year and that I've been working to implement. And now I have in our online community, I have a bunch of different groups. And the group that we're working on right now is the Entrepreneur Expertise Group. And it's specifically to do a couple different things. First, for my colleagues to help you and Luke and Brett Vinat and James Corbett and all the people that we work with, like expeditiously increase their viability to stay alive in this time of like being demonetized, delisted, all these D's, right? So if we want to bring our A game, we need to step up, apply the knowledge that's already available, already proven, and can make all of our foundational aspects of what we do more sturdy, right? Bring more value to the audience overall. Most importantly, that's the issue. Right. Because that value is getting choked off by these algorithms and the delisting and the demonetization, et cetera. Right. So there's some ways around this. And I know this because I've stayed out of that main fray of social media and tried not to leverage it, which is also why, you know, after all this time, I still kind of have like a boutique audience of people who are just like, you know, scattered around the world. It's not a huge millions of people audience, but it's enough people who are smart, interested, and can help to support my endeavors that we can keep increasing our level of production, you know, value and capabilities and the way we can distribute it and get it to people. And it, you know, communicates that value because that's what's getting chopped off, right? That communication of value. So I'm very well familiar with this terrain. And in the next month or so, I should be able to like ring up Luke and be like, look, you can do this, this, and this, and it resolves all those other issues, right? I'm still working through some of that stuff right now because, like I said, I wear a lot of hats, so I don't get the time I used to focus long term on these ideas.
No,
like over
having kids, that is a long term. I mean, it's not you they got to worry about. It's your children. It's the people you influence. It's the minds that you mold. It's the opinions that you share. This is, I always thought, you think you're going, I go, what do you think I'm going? It's not me you got to worry about. It's my grandkids. They're going to whip your ass.
Right.
You better get on it, you know? So we're, you know, let's kind of tease for the next hour. We got a few minutes here. Go ahead and, you know, how's this all segueing into the, you know, current news? What's going on? To kind of, you know, we talk about some QAnon. You know, I got people that are like, you're not doing enough QAnon. And I'm like, what the hell's a QAnon? Okay. You know, it's a Q clearance of inside the Trump with the other anonymous guys asking questions. I just feel, you know, I'm sorry, man. I've been through this before. It just seems like programming, you know, inside controlled opposition of direction of something. Is this ring kind of weird to you or what?
Well, I don't pay much attention to it, to tell you the truth, because I try to stay away from looking at current events as they happen. And I look at those events through a lens of forensic historian once those events are more seasoned, right? So if you try to watch current events and try to understand what's going on in the world, I don't know, it'd be like trying to understand cement by going in the middle of a cement mixer. That's not the way to do it.
You know, there's one thing, it's like, you have Syria. All the missile bombings is really, you know, kind of, you know, Putin stood down because Trump had a little secret. Yeah, we're really going after, you know, the support that they have in this, trying to make a third world war, and the missiles are really targeted at, you know, these guys that, you know, don't worry about it. And then we got, you know, the opium trade.
That's been going on for a long time, though. I mean,
just realized, did you know that the surveillance state and they're funded by heroin trade have got, didn't you know that the black budget of the money of they smuggled of they, did you know that the government was bad? Yeah, like, what are you going to do, add another bad to me? They're bad.
That is the conclusion, and most people don't understand the step-by-step how you get to that conclusion, and that's why it's useful to, you know, take people through these interesting pieces of history. So you don't have to tell them the conclusion. They can reach the conclusion on their own based on the evidence. That's what's cool. And that's what I thought was really lacking from most of the other internet world, is like, you know, you can put these pieces together yourself. The only thing special about what I do is the time and focus and attention and interest that I put in for so many years, you know, while I was, you know, doing heavy research, because now I feel like I have, you know, I have way more books than I can even fit in the place that we're in. So I have to get rid of a lot. But I can tell you the story of each book. I mean, because I learned it in context.
Whoa. How are you getting rid of books?
And this isn't. No. I'm just saying I got to share them with other people who have yet to read them. Right. I got too many for my own personal storage, and I already understand what's in them. So I need to give them new life elsewhere. But the point is, because of my learning trail of, you know, going through the corporate world, running into a wall that's like not on my map, and it's like, how do you, you know, go around this challenge of, you know, corruption running from the top down? We're not taught about that, right? I was able to pursue my own interest in trying to answer those questions, and the evidence that you find along that way is much more meaningful, and therefore it's easier to remember, you know. So when you're given all these disparate books to read in school and you don't understand how they all fit together, you're not likely to figure out on your own how they all fit together. It comes from having the freedom to pursue your own interest and fill your head with good information. So if I wanted to know more and have a, like if I was going on RT or something to talk about Syria, you would start with, how long has Syria been a country? Oh, right. Before World War One, that was a different area. And then they kind of drew some imaginary lines at the Paris Peace Treaty. And, you know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that. And so then you add the layer of, oh, the Russians are involved. Well, who are the Russians?
You go, hey, Syria was ours, man.
Allies until these guys ran a fake Cold War, made them our enemy, gave all the sides nuclear weapons. How did those nuclear weapons come about? When did they? Oh, they started developing those in the late 20s, and they brought them to fruition in World War II. Like, so there's a whole bunch of different motivations going on behind the things that we've been taught about. And I think that's where reality and freedom and interest and learning all meet together.
I'm all right. The next hour, maybe we can. We got a historical perspective. Maybe we can, you know, convince Richard to tell us what's coming. A little bit of future. Where to go look? What to understand?
Freedom's coming. It's on the rise.
Ah, you know, we're gonna have to have a freedom media. You know, this is one thing that we've been pushing. Now we're over at DTube now, and so I'm still looking for even more. Oh, the Catapult Channel. You know about the Catapult Channel?
Not yet.
No, I'm going to tell you. Catapult Channel, we'll talk about it. And you know you're free. Well, you know, I'll tell them all about it when we come back. And a lot of you may not have heard it if you're a listener of Richard Grove. I got a Catapult Channel as my test of how free we are. You'll see. We'll be right back. Tragedy and hope. Okay, we got to take a break. We'll be back at 6 after, and we'll rock and roll with that, okay?
So how many minutes is that for you, just so I set my alarm
properly? It's 8 minutes, but it's 6 after, so it's like, I don't know, 7.5 minutes from now.
All right, well, I'm going to do 6 minutes then.
All right, cool.
Check you soon.
Bye.
Get more coffee.
More Declare Your Independence is coming up next, live, after the news, here on the Liberty Radio Network, LRN.FM.
From Keenan, the Shire, the Liberty Media capital of the world, this is Daryl W. Perry, host of FPP Radio News for Friday, April 27th, 2018. Silver is trading at $16.51 per ounce. Gold is valued at $1,317 per ounce. Zencash is trading at $39, and the average price of Bitcoin is $9,195. Antiwar.com reports something truly historic has begun Friday morning in the truce village of Panmunjom in the Korean Demilitarized Zone. The leaders of the two Koreas, Kim Jong-un and Moon Jae-in, met in the morning to start a much-anticipated summit. The two cordially greeted one another with a handshake and holding hands. Kim led Moon across the demarcation line within the summit building, crossing into North Korea, then returning back to the southern side for the talks. Ceremonies and talks are planned throughout the day with everything planned down to the minute. The visit marks the first time a North Korean leader has ever entered South Korea. Months of feverish diplomatic efforts have brought decades of acrimony to a virtual halt and made these talks possible. From talks surrounding the Winter Olympics, a lot has happened. North Korea managed to secure summits with both South Korea and the United States, has hosted a sizable South Korean delegation in Pyongyang, and made substantial confidence-building measures. Only so much can be accomplished in a single day, though, but the possibilities are promising. All signs are that quite a bit can be accomplished, with expectations that the groundwork is being laid for a deal to end the Korean War, which officially began in 1950. Beyond that, South Korea is also hoping to get the ball rolling on denuclearization and a deal between the North and the United States. For over 40 years, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has been a trusted source for buying and selling precious metals. Gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. They don't feed the banks. They're Bitcoin preferred and have removed the minimum purchase amount for all orders paid in the digital currency. Call Roberts & Roberts Brokerage today for knowledgeable advice on buying and selling precious metals and a forward-thinking approach to new technologies. 800-874-9760 or visit online at rrbi.co. UPI reports Alabama opened the nation's first memorial to the victims of lynchings in the United States on Thursday. Brian Stevenson, founder of the Equal Justice Initiative, conceived the idea for the National Memorial for Peace and Justice as a result of researching thousands of racial terror lynchings in the American South, many of which have never been documented. The six-acre site in Montgomery, Alabama, includes a memorial square with 800 six-foot Corten steel monuments meant to represent the victims of lynching. Stevenson told NPR he was inspired by the Holocaust Memorial in Berlin and the Apartheid Museum in Johannesburg and wanted to capture the brutality of the killings of black people in the Jim Crow South. Stevenson said they lifted these bodies up as a statement to the entire African-American community. They wanted to lift up this violence, this terror, this tragedy for others to see. Each of the steel columns is separated by county and includes the name of each person who was killed there, and another exhibit features bell jars filled with dirt from the sites of each lynching and also bearing the names of those killed. In 2115 New England, there are no borders, no states, and no regulations, yet never has a more peaceful and prosperous place existed. But Mr. Drake Security Company has seen better days. Faced with the prospect of waning power, Mr. Drake intends to replace the anarchy of New England with a government. But at what cost? Will anybody care? And can anyone stop him? Anarchy in New England by Joe Jarvis is available from Amazon.com and all major bookstores. Reuters reports comedian Bill Cosby was convicted on Thursday of drugging and sexually assaulting a one-time friend in 2004, marking the first such conviction of a celebrity since the hashtag MeToo movement that has brought down rich and powerful men for their treatment of women. Cosby, best known as the lovable father from the 1980s TV hit show The Cosby Show, faces up to 10 years in prison for each of three counts of aggravated indecent assault against Andrea Constand following a three-week trial at the Montgomery County Courthouse in Norristown, Pennsylvania. After maintaining maintaining decorum throughout the trial. Cosby exploded following the verdict when prosecutors asked the judge to take him into custody, saying he was a flight risk in part because he owned a plane. District Attorney Kevin Still later remarked that with the outburst, you get to see who he really was. As the verdict was read, Cosby looked down with a sad expression. Lily Bernard, one of the many accusers, began sobbing. Constand sat stone-faced. Judge Stephen O'Neill ruled Cosby could remain out of jail on $1 million bail, pending sentencing at a later date, as long as he surrendered his passport and remained at home. Cosby then left the courthouse with his lawyers and publicist. Sentencing is expected within 60 to 90 days after Cosby submits to a sexually violent predator assessment. This has been FPP Radio News, online at fppradio.com.
Okay, I'm back, and you know what you want to start off with? What was it we said we were going to get to?
Yeah, we were supposed to talk about Benny when we came back from that one break, so...
Okay, we'll do that. I said we're going to talk about something. What was it? Audience is going to slap me if I don't do it. What was it? I forgot.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. All right, text me, you know. Tell me what it was. We'll get to it, I'm sure. All right, Benny, we'll come back. 10 seconds, here we go.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Unafeared, 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 unafeared. I don't know. Should we be afeared, Richard? Is this a fearful time? Is fear the mind killer, or we shouldn't be afraid, or what do we got to be afraid of? I know we wanted to finish up on Bill Benny, that we got to, you know, meet on several occasions, and you got hooked up with him and got to do the interviews and a bunch of other supporting interviews, and you're working on, I'm sure, another documentary now. You've done ones in the past have been awesome, but you wanted to talk about Benny. Go, man. Tell us all about it.
I think it's important because the reason that I wanted to interview Bill Benny is because here's a guy from the NSA who's brilliant, was in a position of director power. You know, he had like 4,500 technical people under him, and his observations of our national security state were so succinct and accurate from other data that I'd already collected. I was like, look, more people need to hear what this guy has to say. And as somebody who tried to, you know, blow the whistle and access the public media and get information to people who were being taken advantage of in the past, and having seen how that works, I thought it would be good use of my talents, my resources, whatever expertise I've built up over the years, to put Bill in front of a bunch of really good cameras in a place where it was suitable for filming and let this guy, without interruption, give it to you straight from the hip. And in order to do that, you got to get in contact with the person. And so I called Ernie. I said, you know Bill Benny. Can I get an introduction? I'd like to pitch him. I'd like to go to D.C. with my film crew. I'd like to sit there for a day or two and get everything he wants to put on tape. And so you introduced me. You and Donna introduced me to Bill. And I put the invitation out to him, and he said, I want to come to you. I'll come to you in Hartford. And we filmed it in a history center here. This area of Hartford used to be popular in the silk trade. And if you know anything about the silk trade and the old China trade, that's really like the opium trade. So there's a bunch of mills around here that were participating in that. And now they're, you know, one was being used as a history center. That's where we interviewed Bill. So we got to sit there, set all the equipment up. And he was kind enough to just sit there and answer questions and elaborate upon this whole story that I think everybody in America, especially everyone who pays taxes, you should know how your taxpayer dollars are being used to ruin, destroy, fragment your freedoms, your rights, your liberties, especially around privacy and surveillance and these types of things. And so we shot that footage, we put it out, and, you know, subsequently, Bill gets a lot more attention. I'm not saying it's because of that video, because his time had come anyway, right? But the point is, more people can know because they see something like Citizen 4, which was the Snowden documentary by Laura Poitras, that won an Academy Award. Bill's in that. Bill became the technical director for Oliver Stone's film Snowden. Bill then had a documentary called A Good American that was an Oliver Stone produced documentary about him, right? And I introduced Bill to Oliver Stone's son, Sean. And there's been so the point is, like, Bill's story is getting out there. People kind of know who he is, juxtaposed to Snowden being out there. And Snowden saw that Binney tried to go through channels and do the right thing and report it up through the chain of command. And he saw what happened to Bill Binney and Tom Drake and these other guys that were in there, Kirk Wiebe, right? And that, so there's a lot there, and you're living through this history right now. Like, Ed Snowden is not allowed to come to the United States for fear of treason charges, and he's currently in Russia, and Russia's the bad guy in this story now, and it, just in the last couple of years, right? But, like, if you look into that situation, there's so much propaganda that we're being fed through the mainstream media and in the form of news and things like this. I think it's poisonous, and that's why I don't consume it whatsoever. I prefer to look at the historical facts after they've settled, because what you're looking, you know, it's like trying to, you know, scuba dive in a muddy river right now. You can't see anything if you're in the stream of current events. So,
you know,
prefer,
I know,
like,
Bill Binney, he was impressed with your questions. He was like going, damn, man, you go, what you read, didn't you? Because
I did my homework. I you know, did as much as I could. Like, when I interviewed John Taylor Gatto back in, like, 2011 for the Ultimate History Lesson, I must have had 50 pages of notes from reading all his books, listening to all his
interviews. Same reaction from him.
All that sort of stuff. And I showed it to him. I said, here's what I want to talk about. And he looks through it and he said, you know, Richard, if we had a week, we couldn't talk about all this stuff. So it was at that point that I put all the research aside. And we just talked. We talked for like 5 hours over 2 days. And that's all unscripted, because the script that, you know, the outline that I had to ask questions, it went in the garbage can straight away. So this is what's cool, is once you do that much research, you can really just sit down and be in the moment with that person and have a conversation. One of the guys I'd like to interview in the future is Edward J. Epstein. His first book was Inquest, which was questioning the Warren Commission's decision and how they arrived at their decision, right? So that's like one of the first pieces of JFK questioning by a reputable, who became a reputable writer after that. And it's that book, Edward J. Epstein's first book, Inquest, that made the CIA generate document 1035-960 concerning the Warren Commission report and these people questioning it. And it's in that document. This is why I love history, because you could actually find this document and you could be like, look, this is where the CIA says, use this term, conspiracy theorist, to disparage these people. And they go on for pages talking about Epstein's book, right? Now, Epstein and John Taylor Gatto were roommates at Cornell. And they were, like, you know, hanging out as friends. And so Kennedy gets killed. And they're like, well, if the so-called assassin is dead by the end of the weekend, shall we call it a conspiracy? And then Oswald's dead. And they're like, oh, geez. And then Epstein made his whole career. Like, and then he got close to James Jesus Angleton and wrote two books on him. He wrote a book on Oswald. He has a new book coming out. I'm not sure. He also did a book for Snowden, Edward J. Epstein. So he's still, you know, alive, living in New York City. And every time I see John Taylor Gatto, he says, you have to go interview Ed Epstein. And I said, I'm almost done, like, reading through, because I like to read everyone's work and do all that research. So it takes a lot of time to prepare to do those interviews. It takes a lot of technical knowledge. Like, just for the Binney set to do all those cameras and lights and everything like that, I mean, there's thousands of inner working pieces, and you got to remember where all the pieces go and how they fit together and make sure they're all working right. There's a lot to doing any of these productions, but I take that as the challenge. I mean,
okay,
Stanley,
let me
Kubrick
tell you about Richard when he
do
does this stuff.
On the set.
Richard goes in, he's got the, you know, I just traveled in my car, got my suitcase carry on kind of version. Then he's got, you know, I put it in the truck kind of version. He's got the, you know, I brought my, you know, shipping container version. And it is, you know, the lights, the cameras, it's quality audio. He's all technophobed up on doing these documentaries. These are real quality stuff of people that, you know, I've been waiting for somebody to come in with a nice setup and ask me these questions so I can get it on forever and always. Amen. Well, this right. is what Richard does, but I'm just, you know, in this last hour, certainly when we come back after the break coming up here in a little bit, I want to get, I know you hate doing this, but I'd like to get some, you know, there's some dovetails into what's going on right freaking not later. Now, they're threatening World War 47 or something.
All right, so let's talk quick before the break about an article I saw on your site the other day. You know, I get the Freedom's Phoenix newsletter every day, actually twice a day, right?
Yeah.
And one of the articles was Samsung's new app will allow you to be hypnotized so you can forget the show you just watched, like Netflix, and you're binging on shows, so that you can watch it again like it was the first time. And I thought, is this fake news? And then it was Lou Rockwell, and then I dug into it, and I was like, man, that's a real story.
I do that. That's called marijuana. Yeah, you go, and you go, wow, that was really good. Well, yeah, I kind of remember it. I don't really remember, and I just keep watching it the first time. And if you keep watching, you know, doing marijuana, and you could watch Star Trek for 15 times like it's the first time. Oh, and they got a pill for that? They got an app for that? Well, let's find out.
From the fourth letter of Captain Mark. Landlubbers are conditioned to believe that the originators of an idea deserve exclusive rights to it. But these innovators are nothing but privateers, granted a monopoly by the crown. Potential inventors are restricted from using their own property and forced to navigate a wilderness of prohibited ideas. These patterned monopolies are intellectual colonization. This alliance of means between the crown and the privateers is not an alignment of ends. Both collude to establish a permission culture, in which everyone second-guesses their own thoughts, never sure which ideas are permissible to develop. But their objectives are different. The crown aims to cripple dissenting opinion, while privateers will only be satiated when all new ideas already fall under their monopoly. This scheme does not protect our information, but seizes it and denies us access. The future belongs to individuals who think, speak, and act freely to create and share without reservation. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
Yeah, see? Huh? Pattern monopolies. You know, that's what our intellectual property kind of owed to kiss my butt. And this, yeah, what's your deal on copyright and stuff? You copyright stuff? Are you a trademarker? Or you're like, you know, that's my stuff?
We have a trademark on Tragedy and Hope that we bought in 2009 because we thought if we're starting, if you're starting something and you think somebody else might want to stand against the branding, and because Tragedy and Hope was a book that had been censored and, you know, so anyway, we invested money. We got a trademark. I think it was a total waste of money. I didn't know anything about intellectual property or the questioning thereof. If you don't know anything about it, you know, look at what Thomas Jefferson said about it. Check out the historical evolution of these ideas and, you know, but, anyway, yeah, we got that. It was
well.
Like
if somebody takes and starts and uses and cuts your stuff, and it's in their documentary, they ripped
the
it off.
Thing.
You're going after
figured,
them.
Yeah, we figured. And then there did come along somebody who used the Tragedy and Hope name on YouTube, and like misspelled it in order to like brand it, and then took some of our logos and started making videos. But he's based out of the UK, and like you know. So anyway, I kind of liked his videos, and I don't have a problem with it, and I'm not trying to compete. And if that's how he wants to brand it. He does like a lot of, I'm missing the name of the
imitation,
British philosopher.
Sincerest form of flattery.
It's a bunch of like thought pieces, right? Philosophical thought pieces. And, I was like, I'm not going to call and be like, this guy's infringing on the trademark or whatever. Cause I don't believe in that. And I think that's a waste. I'd rather make a friend than make an enemy. It takes the same energy to do both. Right. You know,
it takes fewer muscles.
It's the same energy overall. Mm-hmm. So do you want to be friends or enemies? Because you're going to spend less time being friends and more energy being enemies.
You know what?
Over a long
time. Do you have enemies?
And you put a little more time and energy up front to make a friendship, but then it pays off. You know,
well, I want to know who your enemies are. Who hates on Richard? You got a list? You on a list?
I'm not that popular, man. Nah. You got to have some haters to be popular. I don't, you know.
Yeah, you got to have some haters. You know, there's a lot of hate. Well, are we? Can we touch on some of the, you know, current news and segue into, you know, wars and rumors of wars in the Middle East and what we can predict the future from the history of current news? Can we?
Yeah, you could try if you tell me some news story that's going on.
All right.
I could tell you what I know about
something like Syria. Like North Korea and South Korea being buds.
Aren't we still at war in Afghanistan?
Afghanistan and the drug trade and the surveillance state of
There's only a couple stories going on, man.
All right. Here we go.
LRN.FM for a free bumper sticker, flyers, banners, graphics, and more. Promote.LRN.FM.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. It's really easy to do. You go, huh? Declare my independence. See how easy it was? No government form! You know, this is that independence declaring kind of guy, you know, Richard Grove. And, of course, the power behind the throne, Lisa. You know, the motivation for the future, Luke. You know, this is a thing. You know, so I want to get in the, you know, before we can't finish the show without starting a little bit on some current news. And I'm going, this Syria thing, you kind of tapped on that a little bit, the history of Syria and why and we care. And it's always Iran. And this whole thing, Syria is just Iran. And Iran again, you know, then we're going to stop the our conditioning of and kind of, you know, what's the deal we're going to make and Iran. Well, they made this kind of deal with Gaddafi. Gaddafi was like, okay, we'll give up.
How'd that work out?
Yeah, you know, oh, you're done. You stopped everything. You're good. Okay, and you're dead. You know, and well, the whole time North Korea's going, yeah, Gaddafi's, we got nukes. Right here, you want Polaroids?
Gaddafi's son was being groomed by the people who brought about the demise of Gaddafi, right? So how sick is that? That his kid's like getting trained by the Anglo-American establishment, and he's in with Joseph Nye, and, you know, so like he's in with the establishment, and yet they have his dad get raped anally with like a bayonet, right? Mm. So that's how Gaddafi meets his demise, and that's his punishment for bringing in, you know, like Libya was one of the most modernized countries in Africa. And it paid its people based on the revenue, you know, from the oil wealth. And, you know, they had a very high standard of living. And so if you take a look at, you know, any of these countries before Western intervention, it's like, here they are. Iran, 1953, democratically elected President Mohammad Mossadegh gets overthrown by the British MI6 and the American CIA. In Operation Ajax, I think that was Operation Ajax, 1953. So, like, you know, just look into any of these countries that you want to talk about: Iran, Syria, Afghanistan, Korea. And what is the history of Western, specifically MI6 and CIA intervention?
Imperialist
in these countries?
Dogs.
Well, it's not even about imperialism, because the people at the top are politically agnostic. They will use either side. That will use communism, capitalism, anarcho-communism.
But that's the argument of these countries. They're looking at, you know, it's an empire is what they're talking
about.
They're
playing Grand Theft World. These other labels, right, left, all these other things are just created as diversionary tactics so that they can continue rolling out their plan. And they've written it down. They've talked about it. They've funded it. The people that they funded got into our government, you know, and other governments around the world. Like, this is not just an America-specific problem. But I see America as, like, the, you know, trigger on the proverbial gun. It's like America that's being used to catalyze all these other things that weren't American ideas, and that you can follow the whole historical evolution of these ideas and how they permeated into our society, who funded those permeations, who weakened the immune system, i.e., our ability to critically think and make decisions for ourselves, and who helped to, like, dumb everyone down through the education system for what purpose, right? So there's a bigger, that's what I'm saying. The picture I discovered was so much bigger than the picture that they give us in school or media that, you know, it needed to be further fleshed out, researched, mapped, and then communicated to people so that, you know, they at least have a chance to come up to speed on this information and figure out what's really going on before you have Samsung with its hypnotic applications and Samsung with its killer robots and autonomous and AI systems, right? There's all these things that are about to emerge because of the absence of critical thinking, because of the absence of questioning, yes, we could do this technologically, but should we?
Okay,
should
get to the Samsung thing. What are you talking about? It wipes my eye. I didn't watch it. I do it again. I don't have to get high. What was that?
So on the front page of Freedom's Phoenix, there was an article which was reposted from a Lou Rockwell article about a week in the last week. And it said that Samsung, and there was some application that runs on the Samsung phone that can hypnotize you and wipe your memory, erase your memory of something that you have just watched, like a new piece of, you know, corporate media. So you could watch it again like it's the first time.
How does it do that?
I don't even want to know, dude, because you could go to the site. I don't know. Are you going to get hypnotized from going to their site just to check it out?
I think I'll decline.
But that's just one story, right? But then what else does Samsung do besides produce phones and that run apps that hypnotize and erase your memory? They also make killer robots. And I know I mention this a lot of times on your show because, first off, no other show will entertain the fact that the United Nations has had a meeting on killer robots and these guys are developing killer robots. And then you add that with autonomous and AI technologies that are not really autonomous or AI or freedom related, but they're designed by psychopaths who want to control every human living thing on this planet. You know,
okay. I tell you their excuse for making them autonomous is that, you know, any Wi-Fi or signal connection, and here comes Iran, get your drone.
Why do you need it?
Because you don't want somebody to take it, make it autonomous and go kill people with, you know, the jobs on or something.
Right. Okay. So they're using these robots on like the DMZ zone, between North and South Korea, or the militarized zone, right? That, like, whatever, how many miles it is. They used to have soldiers stationed on this border, and now they're going to have robots. And those robots, as we've discussed on prior shows, have the ability to kill people from far away. And so that's just the first thing. And I'm not saying it against Samsung. I'm not saying, like, short Samsung or anything like that. Samsung is just part of an agenda that also comes about as a result of U.S. militarization and Cold War and Korean War.
Where's Samsung from? Is that South Korea, China, Japan? What's Samsung?
Well, I think Samsung, if I'm not correct, I think it's South Korea. But my point is, it's not just Samsung. It's not just one company. And it's not these companies that have an agenda to do this, right? It's a result of having all these technological availabilities and not questioning, hey, how does this relate to freedom, right? Because if you start asking the questions, hey, how, you know, as human beings who are alive and healthy, freedom is pretty important. And it's so important that when they want to punish you, they take your freedom away. So you should know that's pretty important, right? Why are these technologies being developed to erode freedom, to spy, to collect, to process, to predict, to manage, right? It's like they're building a system to manage human livestock. And if that's really what they're doing and that's the right thing to do, then they should be able to explain it to us in just everyday English and be like, you guys are too dumb. We have to farm you, whatever their excuse is. But the fact that they hide it, the fact that they conceal it, the fact that they don't advertise it, and the fact that they don't address it when you ask them about it, I think that tells the rest of us that they know what they're doing is wrong, that it's deleterious to individuals' freedoms. And that is something that we should all be able to be on the same page about, regardless of race, ethnicity, color, creed, political affiliation, philosophy, blah, blah, blah. All those labels negate the best aspects of our human beingness, right? So that's why I try to, you know, stay out of the social media spaces as much as I can, try to back off labeling myself as all these different, like, whatever, dude. I'm a dude who became a dad. And I like to learn things. I like to share things. I like the people I meet through that process most of all, right? That's what makes it important. That's what continues to fuel my passion for my creativity.
Ah, telling the truth, maybe, you know, influence. It's all about public opinion. Everything's just my opinion. My opinion is, what is that? Well, how's it formed? Well, be the smartest guy at the water cooler at the office. Smartest, tragedyandhope.com.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Look what you're in, gonna find it around. It's the same old story, same old song and dance, my friend. It's the same old story, same old story, same old song and dance.
Go to tragedyandhope.com. peacerevolution.com, Peace Revolution podcast. You just put Peace Revolution, Richard Grove, man, it'll blow up all over the place and tell you what you're going to get learned to fight on. There's a plan, you know, and you know what their plan is? For you not to have your plan. They got a plan. What's the plan? Richard, help me out, man. The plan is skip to the end and the current news of it's playing out to eventually in what? What are they doing?
How about I give you the top four books I would recommend if you want to understand the plan?
All right, Donna, start writing it down. Here we go. Ready? The plan. All right, what is it?
You read Tragedy and Hope 101 by Joe Plummer. The next book is
now we've had Joe Plummer on. Now this is he's a big fan of yours too, and he took a lot of this.
He took like 5,000 pages of Quigley's books and notes and stuff like that, and distilled them into like a Cliff Notes 200-page read on a Saturday.
Yay! Thank you. Skip to the end.
And grasp the world from the top instead of trying to understand it from the bottom type of perspective. So number one, Tragedy and Hope 101 by Joe Plummer. Number two is Lord Milner's Second War. Now, this is going to build upon what you just learned in Tragedy and Hope 101 about Cecil Rhodes and this plan to bring America.
I think he's speaking at Red Pill Expo, isn't he?
I don't know who wrote. I mean, I'm not remembering off the top of my head. I thought there's several books in that genre that of the Lord Milner's Second War. So there's like three other books I would recommend to read with that. Mm-hmm. But just like, you know, you want the broad overview, I'm giving you the top four books. Right. So second one is Lord Milner's Second War, and that's World War One that they're talking about. So they show how they, Cecil Rhodes and these guys, constructed the Boer War, and once they knew how to do that, they said, hey, let's make a world war.
Yeah, it worked once. Actually,
right. Okay, so the third book would be New World Order, A Strategy of Imperialism by Sean Stone. That book is based on Sean's Princeton thesis into history of Cecil Rhodes Roundtable. He shows you how the Rhodes Scholars are influential in American politics. It's an excellent book. It's a little bit more in detail than the prior two books, but it builds on everything you just learned. And then the one that I would recommend as the fourth, last but not least, would be Technocracy Rising by Patrick Wood. Because once you understand those three books and how the 20th century has been controlled by these guys, Patrick picks up with, here's, you know, this agenda, technocracy, that shows up in like 1938, and then it's picked up and like made a pet project of Zbigniew Brzezinski, right, in the 70s. And then you can see Brzezinski's writings starting to say, look, I know in one of his books he says, you know, because Brzezinski's from Eastern Bloc during the Cold War. So he says, look, the East German Stasi was able to collect all this information on its people, but it wasn't able to leverage it and process it. Or maybe, you know, he said the same thing happened.
But thanks to IBM.
Right. So in the 70s, you have the NSA and all these other groups start data processing, creating databases. Like the whole industry I worked in that was commercial basically came about because, you know, the CIA needed to preserve James Jesus Angleton's knowledge. So they create a project called the database, which is, the project was called Oracle. And that's how Larry Ellison took the company commercial and created Oracle that's out there today. Right. So it starts as a CIA project that they need to have this information in electronic format that prying eyes can't just go into a filing cabinet and read it, but they needed to preserve it. Right. So there's like military use cases for almost all the technology we see out there, which brings it back to technocracy, Samsung, the militarization of all these different types of technology that, you know, has a commercial front end. You can have a smartphone made by them. Right.
Yeah, it's like Men in Black, all that alien tech and making money
and it's
control
not just
you.
Them. It's like Raytheon, Lockheed Martin.
Oh, I know what Samsung app is. It's a deneuralizer.
There you go.
Made you forget. Okay, this is there's a plan there, and the four books. Just read them off real quick.
Tragedy and Hope 101 by Joe Plummer, Lord Milner's Second War. That author escapes my name, but it's an excellent book. The next one would have been New World Order by Sean Stone. And I wrote the foreword for that book. And my graphics guy actually did the cover for that book. I really like the cover on that book. And then Technocracy Rising by Patrick Wood. And then after you read his book, go watch the interview I filmed with him. You could just type in Future of Freedom, Patrick Wood, and that'll come up. There's, I think, a two or three part series on that. And then you'd have like the broad overview. And then if you seek to know more, that's what my podcast is. That's what my history blueprint is. That's what my website, my online research and learning community does. But also in the midst of all that, there's like everyday life. So you need to have like how the world works. That's a good thing to pick up. You're not going to pick it up all in one day. What I noticed in the past couple of years was when I was losing subscribers, I'd ask them, like, is it the quality of my work? Is it the frequency of my work? And they would say, no, it's cash flow, right? They need to cut costs. And that's like a mentality of scarcity. And I was unconditioned out of that mentality through working my way through college, through learning sales, doing these things. When you realize when you possess certain skills to provide value for people by asking questions, that scarcity becomes, it's not, I can't afford that. It's how could I afford that? How could I, you know, if it's an asset and it's going to make you money, then that's probably something you should put your money into as opposed to like buying a bigger TV to watch the game on or something like that, right? So there's a difference in mentality. So I started to formulate ideas about how can I present this like as a course to these people that are unsubscribing and just give it to them like go and be prosperous. These are a bunch of things you don't learn in school, but are essential to like surviving in the real world. These are skills that you can transport with you, take them with you wherever you want because they're mental skills, you know, but we're not taught these things, right? So anywhere from like people trying to dip their toe into online business through a lot of my subscribers have their own businesses, right? So I wanted to create an entrepreneur course because I think there's a strong tie between entrepreneurism and the mentality of self-reliant, autonomous, free-thinking people. I think there's a lot there, and that's why a lot of my audience are entrepreneurs at various levels, right? So I just wanted to take them through and show them. It's like I did an interview earlier this week with a guy who does he created a digital marketing agency in Australia called King Kong, and tremendous success because he has it down to a method. So I wanted to show my audience is like if you run your own business and you have a marketing budget, this guy knows exactly how to wring the most money out of it and guarantee results. But for most of my audience, they can't afford this guy, me included. I can't afford him yet. But he's on my roadmap down the road because I need to start doing things like that. What I want to do is take everyone who's not a fit for that and show them, okay, here's how you do it yourself. Here's how you create a landing page, set up your email autoresponder. Here's how you create a sales funnel with products that provide value or services that provide value. Here's how you grow your business in the 21st century using the internet, right? And so that's been like a side project because once I do that, that'll be evergreen and people who have issues like that. Because a lot of times when people say they have financial issues and they need to cancel a subscription, I'm like, cancel your subscription, but keep your profile. Like keep taking and drawing wealth out of the community in the form of learning how to do things for yourself. Because there's like, I don't know, 30 or 40 different groups in there and they're not all active at any given time. But as you know, as our interests and necessities and priorities come up, it's like, oh, I need to, you know, train some people on how to do filming or audio editing or any of the other things that I do. Let's make a mini course out of that so that we can use it to, you know, show other people and they can, you know, when they tell me, hey, you should make a video on this, I can say, here's a course. You can make a video on that yourself.
Oh, right? I know what I make a video on. I want to make a video
one
on.
One less thing I got to do, right, Ernie?
You got to do it. You got to do it. You probably already have. I mean, what about, you know, sci-fi stuff, UFOs, moon landings, space station, the militarization of, and you're not allowed in secret space planes of Air Force something, space. What are we looking at?
I mean, I see it like there's two things going on. There's the crumbling of this old antiquated system of trying to control people, right? That's going on. You can see it all outside. And then there's the rise of people learning to be self-reliant, autonomous, autodidactic, learn how to do things for themselves, and thus earn each precarity.
Yeah. Go pirate. Oh, yeah. Catapult. I'll tell them about it in the break. Catapult. Yeah, the audience knows about the Catapult channel. I'll explain it, you know, and then you'll know. We'll be right back. From the first letter of Captain Mark. History is full of flowery documents claiming to limit the power of the crown, but these poetic social contracts have been impotent to prevent the predation. Limited government is a lie they use to keep us submissive. The crown cannot be trusted to abide by its founding charters, nor its treaties, nor even its own rules. The essence of the crown is centralized violence, and I've had enough. That's why I raised my black banner. I am no revolutionary. My aim is not to reset the cycle of violence, but to break it. My aim is an evolved society, invisible to the crown. Not a new hierarchy, but decentralized networks with no central figure for the crown to target. If you want your servile life, keep it. But we will not submit to the crown's agenda. And when you are ready to stop being its beast of burden, ready for adventure and opportunity, join us at piratswithoutborders.com. Okay, let me give you the catapult, okay? What happens is, I've been, you know me, man, I've been screaming forever, these guys, they're not your friends, they're Zuckerbergs, and get off the controlled media, and you're going to lose your YouTube of, you know, whatever. So, yeah. This has been a regular thing, and Luke is, you know, really gone. James Corbett, Taryn Lupo, Luke Radowski, you know, and I'm sure, you know, you're not as susceptible because you don't deal with a lot of this stuff, but I go find alternatives, and we're looking at, you know, like Zencash, a crypto is, they came on last October, and they go, him and his technical guy, and it wasn't until like the end of the hour, in the last couple of minutes, go, oh, by the way, we got this private messaging of the none the business, they don't even know that, you know, pirate communication thing. And I go, what? You lead with that. I mean, are you freaking kidding me? So they started emphasizing their social media, boom, their crypto goes up. And then they started, you know, this decentralized, they just didn't see the market for it. They didn't understand that there's this big giant, oh my God, leave us alone thing. Well, they start emphasizing that. Filecoin is the biggest ICO ever after MadeSafe doing their thing. I mean, it's just decentralization, here it comes. And I go, all right, this is when you know you're free. And I need a video platform for this. EOS, you know, decentralized crypto operating system. All these guys, I come on, I said, all right, you want to know how I can tell if you're freedom oriented or not? You're going to be free. You know, this is how I know. I need to be able to put up my Catapult channel that they can't take down. And they have Catapult. I go, yeah. Because all these coders, you know that they're sitting there with a cat on their lap. All right. They're doing all they go. Oh, the internet's about cats. They don't care about the kiddie porn. They don't care about the snuff films. They don't care about the war. They don't care about all that stuff. Go, gosh darn it. You harm a freaking hair on a cat, the Hellfire Missile petition comes out, okay? They're protesting the front of. They're going to make sure you get some. I go, all right, I want to have to where I can catapult little white baby kitten into a cactus as the blood and the spikes of the cactus going through the eyeball. And God, then what are you going to do? Well, of course, they don't like that none too much. They got a cat on their lap, you know? So they're like, well, can you take it down? I need to know. Is this going to be my catapult channel of little baby kittens getting flung into the lake of the, over the cliff of the Grand Canyon or something? Are you going to be able to take it down? Yes or no? Well, yeah, some of these, it comes down to, they're not obligated to promote it or index it or, you know, whatever, but the file is there. And if you have the URL or the link to it or the QR code or something, yeah, you know, you can
access it.
Yeah, you can access it. And I'm going, cool. Okay. Yeah, that's right. Now, of course, I wouldn't do it, but, you know, except maybe a little CGI and kind of some fun. But, you know, that is the standard for me.
You know,
Catapult channel.
It just.
All right, here we're coming back. You can respond to it on that.
We do. Please help support our international satellite channels at patreon.lrn.fm. That's patreon.lrn.fm.
There are those that just want to be left alone. And those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the beast.
Oh, I got caught. I did my catapult channel. I told them all about it. Here they come. Oh, you did kittens? Oh, it was just snuff films. You know, a war kind of baby body parts all over. Drone strike. That's okay. You know, but you harm a cat. Oh, man, they're going to come get you. Come to police. You know, so that's my standard. So, I throw it to you, Richard. I don't know. What do you think of that? What are you going to do about it?
Well, that was a very poor summarization of a well-thought-out metaphor that you used during the break. So let me clarify for anyone listening. Currently, if you upload something to YouTube and they don't like it, they can make sure that no one else sees it. The holy grail of the system would be that you are able to upload your content, and even if it's not indexed or listed or whatever, you would still have a URL and people could still go see it, and it couldn't be censored. So, you know, the Holy Grail is a platform where you can express yourself and not be censored. And so then we came back from break, and I was about to tell Ernie, I'm surprised that nobody has the ability to just, like, have your own YouTube on your phone that's not owned by YouTube. it's just a thing where you can upload videos and you can share them. And when people want to see those videos, they can see them without YouTube or any other corporation being in the middle of it. Why don't we have that technology today? Why isn't there just like Ernie Hancock's private server that has his videos for all his shows, can't be censored for using, you know, copyrighted music on the liners and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's around the corner, and it might be some sort of blockchain related type of thing. Didn't MadeSafe have something like that back when
we just had them on less than a couple of weeks ago, and they're making progress. And they got, you better hurry up, man. There's people they've been developing, because I knew what happened a few years ago when they first did their crowdsourcing or something. $7 million in 5 hours, the thing was over and done. It's supposed to be like a 3-month crowdfunding raising kind of done in 5 hours. Boom. And I'm going, whoa, what did they show?
Right.
The
I remember when
audience,
that happened.
The demand for it. Well, then here they come. How long we got to wait? Don't care. I can be free in 3 years, 5 years. I'm good. You know, my grandkids, they got another 15 years before they give a crap, you know, or 10. So I'm going, yeah, this is the future. I don't know what those are going to do to stop it. I mean, they're going to try, but I don't know what.
Well, I mean, it seems like that'd be like the ideal platform for someone like Luke Radowski to be able to upload videos onto, or James Corbett, or, you know.
Yep.
Myself, I'd probably use it more than YouTube if I knew why it wasn't. Like, you know, I like to cut things for my subscribers. I usually, you know, I've done a video show that's subscribers only for several years now in a couple different names and formats. But the idea is, if I want to cut in a piece of footage, I'm cutting it in. And then it's just like, where can I show this? Oh, I can still use Vimeo, because I can't use YouTube because I got those algorithms to sniff that out. But I'm not going to let that technology limit my expression in its original format. It might be limited in its distribution. Like, Vimeo could say any day, oh, we don't like that you use this clip of whatever. It's like, you know, and I don't do it as much as I ultimately would still, because they'll take it down at some point. So I still kind of like balance it. I don't go whole hog using stuff like that. But when I want to express myself, and it's like, no, there's this scene in Goodfellas, and it's where they talk about buying up the bar and running up its credit and then burning it down and getting the insurance money. Like, that's a thing that goes on in the world, and you should, like, you know. So anyway, I try to create in my mind in a free way, and then I kind of limit that sometimes in the current environment, because it's dangerous out there, man. It
dangerous,
is.
Dangerous.
You have
dangerous.
To, you have
you
to look
felt
at it
danger?
For what it is.
Have you,
know,
felt,
you live,
have you been
you live
surveilled?
A time when, like, truth is becoming illegal. Like, you know, they're,
hell
they're
yeah.
taking
and
action
an empire
against
of lies, people
who want to
truth is treason.
To together.
Well, I'm wondering what kind of press, you know, have you been getting? What, I mean, you know, pressure, you know, pushback.
Well,
I mean, give me some examples.
It's more mental self-pressure from realizing it's like, yeah, dude, they could at any time flip a switch and say everybody who's got this type of thing included in whatever type of media, you know. And they can also take all your stuff out of context now, because they have all that software where if you have 40 minutes of recorded voice on the internet, they could basically make you say anything you want. And then it comes down to, like, the burden of proof when those things are brought to trial. Because as we've seen in Ross Ulbricht's trial, you don't need any authenticity for your digital records when you're the government. And all these other things that went on in this trial that set very dangerous precedents for everybody else. That's why they do these things to those people. And that's why he's a political prisoner, is because they can use him to scare other people away from trying to do those things, right? But now, like, you know, Experian and these credit companies, they'll do a triple scan of the dark web to make sure your information's not being sold. And it's like, now it's almost like those things are there to, as a business plan of these bigger corporations. So, like, oh, the black market benefits them, because now they can use a scare tactic to get you to subscribe to this new service to make sure your stuff's not on the dark web.
Yeah.
Maybe you should just go on the dark web yourself and look for it.
You know, a friend of mine's daughter, she was like in her mid-20s, 30 or so, and we were at a party, and she was there, and she got a call from her sister. And she goes, well, okay, thanks. You know, we got that going for us. She goes, yeah, Ernie, that was my sister. She just said she checked out Ashley Madison's download and made sure there was nobody in the family on it. You know, we got that going for us. And I'm like, what? You know, they do that. You know, there are people going, yeah, I just want to check and see if we go, oh, who's Ashley Madison? Okay, we're all clear. We're good. And I'm going, damn, you got to worry about stuff like that. Well, this is the battle I see in the future is going to be like they blackmail congressmen. They blackmail every politician. You know,
that's
being a pedophile is
now.
Like a
that's
minimum job requirement.
That's the past, Ernie.
Pardon me?
That's how it works now. That's not the future. That's the past. In the future, it's just mechanized and methodical.
No, that's my point. They've been using it for now. They got everybody. You know, it's like, you know, it's not your friends or Zuckerberg's, and you put your favorite and most and kind of intimate and whatever. And then I'm going, the kids from Eastern Bloc, a lot of different exchange stuff. They always come by here and I take them shooting. And they're from Poland. They can't wait to put them standing at a range, you know, with an AK-47 and ha-ha. And I'm going, you going to put that on your Polish Facebook? You sure? You understand? Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, I'm going, okay. You know, I'm just, you know, I'm glad you're fearless. But, you know, these control mechanisms are out there. You get classified, hell, from what Amazon movies I rent. Do you got a Netflix and Amazon account?
I do have an Amazon aha! account.
That they know everything.
But I don't have Netflix. I don't have Netflix.
Yeah, what's the difference?
I mean, either way, man. Look, people have, like, there's your work time, there's your relaxation time. It's not my job to tell anybody what to do for their relaxation. As long as they're not taking away someone else's freedom, it's all good. So you want to, you know, binge watch a bunch of Netflix? Cool. But you should also learn how the world works and also start integrating some of that knowledge into figuring out how to preserve freedom. Because the way that they have it planned, it's going to go bye-bye real soon. And you're not going to see it again. And it's going to be like a myth in the future. And right now, they just doing a remake of Fahrenheit 451 by Ray Bradbury.
Yeah.
Curious to see what kind of spin they put on it. Because we are living in that society now where, you know, is it true that firemen used to put out fires and not light them? Yeah, that type of thing. Like, look at the censorship today.
Yeah,
that
it was about burning books.
Modern day book burning.
Fahrenheit 451. That's the temperature at which paper burns. That was the whole point. And I'm going, this is the firemen were burning books, you know, and you know, digitally burning them. Now I'm wondering if it'll have a digital future connotation or will go back in history. What do you think?
Yeah, I haven't watched a trailer or anything. I just got wind that they were redoing it. And I was like, well, now's a good time to do it because we still have the freedom to do something about it. But, you know,
I saw that book on a shelf. Well, what do you think you should do? Vote? Are we going to vote? Is this all about learning how to vote?
You vote through your viewership, Ernie. You're going to vote through your Chinese social score. You remember how they came out with that thing?
Oh, yeah. Canada started to take it up. And they had a journalist in China that he tweeted something critical. And they said, you gotta, you know, give us a retraction or apology. And they go,
you'll get a strike.
And it wasn't sincere. His kids can't go to private school and he can't get an airline ticket now.
Yeah. So that's not freedom. I don't know what to call that, but it's not freedom.
Well,
so
they're not claiming it's freedom. They're claiming
it's
control.
Keep an eye on it and back away slowly. Don't turn your back on it, man.
Well, I know they come America and is it any better? You know,
the thing is, look, there's many things that we can cite wrong. Look at where we are in history. We would not have a country that espoused any type of freedom, let alone realized it, without the, you know, back in the day, you had the ability to be armed and to wage war against oppressors, right? That's no longer technologically viable in the old type of, you know, armament mentality. So you have to understand what's going on and be able to think. It's like more of a thinking man's game that goes on today, right?
Yeah, I tell you one thing that you can add to the, you know, the effort. I'm on everybody's butt that's in the position you are, sharing videos and so on. Find a decentralized platform. You know, Dash is kind of, you know, does something.
Make one. Crowdfund one.
Zencat.
There's a lot of people that want it.
Yeah, well, they did. It was $280 million went to Filecoin. That was what that was about. They did an ICO and boom!
Like the most expeditious way to get to a solution for that.
It's going to happen. You know, I could see that, you know, once, that's why I've been making such a big deal out of MadeSafe. I go, it's MadeSafe or something like it, because there's such a market demand for this. And I wonder how they're going to stop guys like Richard Grove, tragedyandhope.com, from getting in your head.
The Free State Project has reached its...
Boom! There we go. Thank you very much, Richard. I knew it'd take at least 2 hours.
I very much appreciate it, Ernie. Yeah, I enjoy having coffee and rapping with you in the morning.
Yeah, I know. It's been good to catch up with you. Everything good?
Yeah, everything's good, man.
You all settled in your house? You got, you know, your custom-built furniture?
I'm still getting settled. I'm still moving some stuff. But I have also made progress in other areas. Like yesterday, I spent time putting a whole bunch of technical camera gear together and built this rig that's on a tripod and wheels and can do a whole bunch of different stuff. So I can build out production with that
and I didn't have to spend any money. I just had to know where the parts were that I already had around here and put them together. But I thought it was interesting in hindsight because, like, nobody told me to do that. I didn't see anyone. I was just like, here's what I need and here's what I have, and let's just start putting stuff together. And I, a couple things I had to try, different pieces, but I got it all to work. And I was like, that was a good use of an afternoon because it'll continue to pay off into the future. So I built an asset out of existing liabilities.
Existing liabilities.
Yeah.
Stuff laying around. Yeah, I got some extra stuff. What I did with a lot of my extra stuff, and I go, oh, grandkids need a computer? I think I got like stuff here for that.
And then they can learn how a computer works.
Yeah, I go to them and I say, do you know how the computer works? Yeah, you push it. I go, no. And I take off the back and I go, you see all that? No, I look at the hardware. You know, I go,
spinning magnets, you know, with rust.
What does that little black chip do? I don't know. I go, me neither. Let's go find out, you know? It's in there. Oh, it's a trusted program module. Oh, it goes to the NSA. What's that? That's a lesson. Go to Tragedy and Hope and listen to 20 hours. Yeah. Hey, thanks for spending time with me. You know, say hey to Lisa, big wet one, and a hug for Luke. And, hopefully we could. How come you're not? Yeah, bring Luke out and vacay, man.
We'll see.
You might
we'll
be see. Wanting to do that in the fall. Oh, I'm going to go, Donna and I, for her birthday. You know, it's kind of, do what I want to do a little bit. But go scuba diving and go visit all the crypto guys in St. Kitts. I'm going to go check that out. I want to see what's up.
Oh, that sounds like fun, dude. You know? Hey, when you come up for Pork Fest, Pirate Fest, Somalia Fest, whatever, if I don't end up going up there, you should drive down. Visit for a day.
Oh, God,
man. On your way to flying out someplace else?
Like an effort. I mean, like, that's
we'll see.
It's like work, man. Well, I may not stay for Pork Fest because that's when I think Red Pill is going on. And
I mean, if Red Pill was closer, I just don't want to fly to Seattle really to
do that. Well, what I'm doing is I'm going to Somalia Fest, which is before Pork Fest, and they're trying to squash that, and you can't get rooms unless you're going and buy a ticket for that in the weekend before. Screw them, I don't care. Because we're going for Jay Noon is getting married, and that's my big motivation for going to that and just hang with the guys. But I'll probably leave Wednesday, Thursday, because I know some of the speakers from here and Guy, they're, Coctopus Cato sponsored by for last few
drive
years.
Drive down here, fly
industries
out
or whatever. All right. Well, maybe I can get Donna to do that.
Or drive down here and fly out of Newark. You can get to Newark too. Okay. I wouldn't go to JFK or LaGuardia. Those are tougher.
Donna, did you get my return flight or going from New Hampshire yet? Okay. Well, if you can do it to where I can fly into like Manchester and then leave Hartford, to go to Spokane, then I could say, yo, what's up?
We'll get you in studio over here. Have you on a real show.
Yeah. All right, Donna, hook it up. Yeah, your people will be peopleized with my people, and we'll get people. I'm sorry, what? Oh, she's like, she gets to do that. She might want to go. That's cool. She doesn't want to go. She's like,
I want to see the baby. Come on.
Yeah, well, he's not a baby anymore. He's two.
I know, but he's a baby to me.
Well, how old is he? How many months is he?
He's 2 and 4 months.
So he's about Colton.
Yeah, about that.
Yeah,
Colton. But instead of Pork Fest, we were just going to have Hope Fest here, and you can camp in our backyard. That's where we're going.
There's another event in Michigan or something, a Freedom.
Yeah,
and it's a
I know people that went to that one last year too. I think Brett Vanant might be going to that one.
What did they think? What they thought of the?
I'm sure it was. Well, the Red Pill was in a hotel in Montana last year.
No. I mean the Michigan thing.
Was. Yeah, that was. That's high. I haven't been to either, so I just had I don't remember how that was described, if it was outside or inside.
Yeah, Pork Fest has gotten way too corporatized of you should vote this way, and minarchist of we're going to fix it, and here's the dial.
I just don't think that, the type of people that were presenting there for the past several years are even being included, invited, or anything. It's like, it's like
they're being disinvited. You're not allowed to,
They're bringing in scabs.
Yeah, no, I'm not too offensive that they don't care, but, it's like everybody else that I go to see, that I want. I'm like, I'm not digging it, so we'll see. But, motivation, man. I'm okay. We'll try and work that out. Count on it. I'll at least drive down to Hartford and take out, maybe get a day, you know, go in and say, yo, what's up? You know, because I can. What the hell? The extra few hours of driving, I'm good.
Yeah, dude, you can listen to part of a podcast.
Yeah, like I got. You know what I do? I turn off everything and just think. I
just, that's good, too. Yeah, that's very healthy.
Yeah, I'm just like, whoa, 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 whoa. I just want to think. You know what's been messing me up lately is I get a song in my head, you know, and I can't get it out. You know, I have to go listen to something to, you know, like, what was that? I forgot it now. You know, it just loops in my head. Go, get that song out of my head. So I got to go listen. I'll do Tragedy and Hope.
Well, that's because that only happens when you don't have a big enough problem to work on. So your brain's always trying to solve problems. That's like what it does. It's doing that all day. So, you know, you can feed it real problems or you can like let it, you know,
or I take a freaking chill, you know, I just, you know, go camping. That's one reason why I like, you know, like we have, you know, Jackalope Freedom Festival here,
right,
in first weekend in August. And that, I really enjoy that because that is unplanned. They go, oh, what's the speaking the stage of how are you going to mute in the vendor space? You gotta go, hey man, I'm just going camping with, you know, 500 of my closest friends. And that's all. You want to promote something? Get a flyer, put it on a tree, whatever, because I'm not, hey, nobody in charge. Who's in charge?
Squirrels.
Jackalope. Jack's here somewhere. I don't know Jack. You know, go talk to him. But that's how I like it. So it's growing. Hey, it's been great spending time with you, man. Count on me. We're making the effort. Donna will get in touch with you, and I'll do at least a 12-hour, 24-hour, 30-hour something. You know, just say, yo, what's up?
Right on, man.
All right,
well, you guys have a great day and a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk soon.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right.